Blog Talk Radio.
Precious name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. All righty, well, let's bring on our panel of Pastor Leroy and Pastor Real. All right.
I'm not feeling too well tonight, so I'm sorry I didn't get you the new intro for the show. Is that Tony Farr singing your intro song, by the way?
Say what?
I said I wasn't feeling well, but somebody told me that that's Tony Farrar singing your intro song. Is that true?
No, that's China Corner. Connor, I'm sorry. China Corner.
Oh, do you know her?
I've heard of her. I don't know her personally. Okay?
Oh.
She's with a bunch of people like Terry Arthur, Linda Arthur. Okay? They sing a lot of songs that concern Yahweh and Yeshua, more of saying Jesus Christ and just God. You know, they're more on that level.
Oh, see, I thought that was Tony Farrar because somebody told me. I'm sorry, Ken.
No, it wasn't Tony Farrar, no. Oh, and by the way, Tony said he's not coming back to GRM anymore.
Okay, geez. Thank God. I prayed for this moment.
So, does anybody got a message for tonight they want to bring?
Leroy, do you have a message?
Okay, man. Look, yeah, I do have a message, man. This is Pastor Leroy Jackson. From the Bronx, man. I know he's going to say it. Is he not going to say it? Yeah, I'm going to say it, man. I'm from the Bronx, and I'm a proud black man to be from the Bronx. Look here, man.
Hang on.
My message,
where are you from?
I'm sorry.
I asked you where you're from, Leroy.
I'm from the Bronx, man.
From where?
The Bronx! Damn it!
Okay.
Man.
I think I got it. Oh, thank you.
Look here, man. I do have something to say, man. I have something to say for Thanksgiving here in the United States, man. I know Pastor Ken and I think Pastor Veal, we're all in the United States. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, man. It's a wonderful day in this country. My wife
Amen.
Today... is a saint. I'm staying out of nowhere near the kitchen, man, because we went out today and bought so much food, man. You can't believe it. Let me tell you real quick, man, what we bought. We went to ShopRite, and it said senior day, so we would get a 5% discount. We bought two 21-pound turkeys. We bought two 7-pound spiral hams, man. And my wife also went out and bought 16 pounds of chicken, man. And 22 boxes, man, of stovetop stuff. Wait, hold on. I ain't done yet, man. I'm not done. She also bought, and I'm telling you, man, this is the truth. The shit was delivered to my house, man. 25 pounds of potatoes. Now, I got a problem with this, man. I'll tell you why, because we got a big family here, man. We got a lot of people to feed, and I get that. So my wife's got to cook all this shit, man, tonight. She's going to be up all night cooking. All night. I stay out of her way, man. The woman's a saint on Thanksgiving. But every other day, she's nothing but a damn pain in my ass, man. This is Leroy Jackson, and I love Thanksgiving, man. I love this time of year. We got our Christmas tree up. I'm looking at it right now, man. It's a beautiful thing. It's actually one of those – it's really not a beautiful – it's kind of one of those Charlie Brown Christmas trees, man. Yo, what are you bringing here, man? You know, I don't care about that, man. All right, so look, that's enough about me, man. What you got? Pastor Ken, I love you, brother. You come on here all the time. You've been on here for many, many days, man. And you know, Pastor Leroy loves you, man.
Well, thank you. I'll be on tomorrow night, too, for Thanksgiving.
Well, I'm not sure I'll be able to join you tomorrow night because, you know, we're doing a whole spread here, man, in my house. We got like freaking, how many people we got coming here, man? Well, there's no freaking way, man. She said, my wife, who's in like the other part of my, see, we got 36 people coming here tomorrow, man. What are you out of your freaking mind? What's the matter with you, you dumb bitch? Look here, man.
That's a lot of people.
36 people. Huh? There's some ungodly language going on. We should really stop with the ungodly language.
Yeah, we need to curb the language. We need to keep it regular language. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, I've got a message for tonight. Well, before I bring the message on, okay, we got a caller from 720. I'm going to bring him on. Oh, is this Paulie?
Yeah, Paulie here. Hey, Ken, I love the format of the show now. I'm glad it didn't go to an all-gay panel. His listeners do not need to catch AIDS. I was going to say, you guys need to be more inclusive and include our... Or maybe you should have him on as a host as well. I think all these guys bring a lot to the table, make your show entertaining, better than any night with Tony F. or Doug. Anyway, you guys have a good one. I have nothing else. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for calling me.
Damn, that guy is awesome, man.
All right. Okay. Well, let's get into the message for tonight, okay? And it's titled Thriving. And this is part of a series of principles of kingdom living. And it's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 and 9. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. In the previous chapter, I shared the fact that while here on planet Earth, we will at some point in time find ourselves going through some things. Life has a way of throwing the proverbial monkey wrench at us, and sometimes messes us up in more ways than one. The difference between someone coming out on the other side of going through is how that person responds to life's monkey wrenches. One of the things we can do is wallow in our problem or obstacle, take on a defeated mentality, and just give up, or we can get up, shake it off, and make the most of what's coming at us. To do this, we must have the right attitude or even a change of attitude. The defeated person has made up their mind that they are already defeated. The defeated person has made up their mind they will never get any better. The defeated person has made up their mind that they will never get any help. The defeated person has made up their mind that there's no hope for them. On the other hand, the thriving person has made up their mind that defeat is not an option. The thriving person has made up their mind that whatever comes their way will be conquered. The thriving person has made up their mind to go after what is rightfully theirs. The thriving person has made up their mind that victory is imminent. So let me ask you two questions. If when you lose your job, do you stop living? If when you lose a loved one, do you stop living? If when you lose something near and dear to you, do you stop living? No. You understand that it's all part of the life cycle we're in, and you keep living. There are some people that life is over when they die. person who thrives sees things from an entirely different perspective. I will submit to you that it's a matter of attitude. It's an attitude that helps us understand that God knows what's for us. And we want to let him direct our path. We take on an attitude that's according to Psalm 119, verse 105, which says, "Thy word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto my path." God knows what's best, and that gives us a thriving attitude. In verses 3 and 5 of Matthew 5, Jesus is dealing with someone who characterized as going through because all the things being added to them. And each one, Jesus reminds them that in their going through, there was a promise of something better. If they just stuck it out, and the first three something was coming at the individual, or that in particular state of mind of being. And the next three verses, Jesus is dealing with the individual who understands that the past is actually preparing them for the future, and they need to do something to strive. So those who hunger first. Let me ask you a question here. When you're at home or wherever, and when you get hungry, what do you do? When you get thirsty, what do you do? Most people, when they get hungry at home, they get up and go into the kitchen and find something to eat. Most people, when they're thirsty at home, get up and go to the kitchen and find something to eat. Most people, when they get hungry at work, if they don't bring lunch with them, they get up and go somewhere and get something to eat. My point being, they are not sitting around waiting for food to come to them in order to deal with their hunger. But they get up and do something. A person who strives will not sidelines and wait for them. But we'll get up
Pastor
and get
Ted,
moving and make...
Pastor Ted, I don't mean to interfere with your sermon, man. I don't mean to interfere with your sermon. I never do this, man. But there's something going on, man. There's somebody... Sounds like they got a diarrhea going on in the toilet, man, in the background while you're preaching, man.
Oh, was I unmuted? Was I unmuted? Oh, man, this is so embarrassing. Oh, jeez.
Oh, wait a minute. It sounded like somebody had, like, diarrhea going on, man.
It's me. I'm sick. I'm really, really sorry, Ken. I forgot to mute my mic. I apologize profusely.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. Okay? The Pastor Buell is not feeling well tonight, but he has blessed us with his presence anyway. The text refers to one who has made a hunger and thirst for righteousness, and that includes all righteousness. This is the person who wants to do what's right even though wrong keeps coming at them. They made up their minds that they are going to be righteous in dealings, do things God's way and not their own way, in case we strive to be more like Jesus. The preacher outlined in the Sermon Bible says, in the Bible, righteousness means two simple but profound things. It has a double meaning. It means to be right and to do right. It may be said another way, to be good or to do good. Here's what's real. We can't be righteous on our own because the Bible teaches us in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, which says, but we were all of unclean thing, and our righteousness are filthy rags. We will all fade as leaf in our iniquities, like the wind has taken us away. King David said in Psalm chapter 51, verse 5, behold, I was deep in iniquity, and in sin did my mother convince me. Because sin has been passed down as Adam, we've got to change our attitude and make it up in our minds that we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, thereby hungering and thirsting to be more like Jesus. The promise from the Lord is that if we have a hunger and thirst, we shall be filled. What will we be filled with? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 14, we will be filled with goodness and knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, we will be filled with the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we will be filled with the Spirit. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 11, we will be filled with the fruits of righteousness. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, we will be filled with the knowledge of his good will. and Acts chapter 13:52, we will be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Then and only then can we really thrive. You see, those who are merciful, when somebody does something wrong to you from a natural perspective, it is difficult to forgive them or have mercy on them. You're hurting, you're devastated, you're not sure what has happened, so it's difficult to be merciful at that moment. To be merciful is to have a compassionate heart and a forgiving spirit. The person who is merciful makes a deliberate effort to understand the person who needs forgiveness. If we're going to thrive, we've got to change our attitude and begin to function and operate like Jesus, because there will come a time when people will talk about you. There will come a time when people spread rumors on you. There will be a time when people will judge you wrongly. There will come a time when people will drag your name through the mud. There will come a time when people will lie on you. There will come a time when people will call you everything but a child of God. But the real question is, what will you do when that happens? Jesus says, "Hear is the merciful and receive mercy." By definition, mercy comes from a Greek word which means feelings of pity and compassion, affection and kindness. So when we show mercy to others, it will turn come back to us. It is a principle of sowing and reaping, found in Galatians 6, verse 7, which says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap." There are benefits of showing mercy to others. The Bible tells us that. You will receive the mercy of God. You will be paid back when what was given by God himself. You will be blessed. You will inherit the kingdom of God. So when we start following the word of God and living in a manner that's pleasing to God, it's then that we start thriving. So those who are pure in heart, another way for us to thrive is to be pure in heart. The preacher's outline and sermon Bible says that this means to have a clean heart, to be unsoiled, unmixed, unpolluted, to be cleansed, purged, forgiven. The only way we can be pure in heart is to know Christ as Savior and allow him to live through us. It requires us to make up our minds to live holy before God, forgetting those things behind, those things that have hurt us, those who have messed over us, those who have turned their back on us. We can't succumb to doing things the world's way. But realize there's a better way with God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." So if we do it God's way, we can anticipate the blessing from God. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 24, verses 4 and 5, "He that has clean hands and pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitful, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." But the text tells us that the pure in heart shall see God. What a promise that is. We can look forward to seeing God face to face, beholding his glory and his glory and his glory. We're told in Psalm chapter 17, verse 15, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with my likeness." Okay? Can you imagine what it's going to be like waking up on the other side of eternity and seeing God face to face? It will happen for those who are pure in heart. So thriving requires us to get up, shake it off, and get stepping. You can't thrive if you're walking around with a defeated attitude. You can't thrive if you're taking out revenge on people who have offended or hurt you. You can't thrive if your heart is not right. Even though Jesus is wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, he had his mind set on thriving. If you want to talk about thriving, let's talk about what he endured. He was betrayed by a friend. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was forsaken by his disciples. He was accused by false witnesses. He was mocked and beaten. He was pierced in his hands and his feet. He was crucified between two thieves. He was the object of ridicule. He was deserted or forsaken by God. He died on Calvary's cross. He didn't just stay in the grave, but got up early on Sunday morning with all the power in his hands. So if you're going to strive, you've got to get up. Maybe you might need to get up and praise God. Maybe you might need to get up and worship God. Maybe you need to get up and tell him thank you. Maybe you might need to get up and say hallelujah. Amen. And I hope this sermon has brought a blessing to you again this night. Amen. All right.
That was a wonderful sermon, Pastor Ken.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it.
No, I did. I enjoyed that, man. And I've got to tell you, every word is true in the world today. So thank you for that wonderful start to our Thanksgiving weekend.
Amen. Well, I'm saying we're going to do an altar call. It's going to be a little bit different than the one I've been saying. Okay? We're going to... If you're out there and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do so tonight. All you have to do is say this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and there's nothing I can do to save myself. I confess my complete helplessness to forgive my own sin or to work my way to heaven. At this moment, I trust Christ alone as the one who bore my sin when he died on the cross. I believe that he did all that will ever be necessary for me to stand in your holy presence. So I thank you that Christ was raised from the dead as a guarantee of my own resurrection. As best as I can, I now transfer my trust unto him. I am grateful that he has promised to receive me despite my many sins and failures. Father, I thank you at your word. I thank you that I can face death now that you are my Savior. So I want to thank you once again for your assurance that you will walk with me through the deep valley. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries would like to welcome you to the family of the Lord. We'd like to say, may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Amen. And if you said that prayer, I'd like you to call into code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. And press the 1 key and come on live and tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your personal Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen. Ken, this is Pastor Beal. I think we should try to do a topic tonight, and I think the topic should be rumors. Have you ever dealt with a rumor in your life against you, and how did you godly combat it? What do you think? That was part of your sermon today.
Yeah. People talk bad things about you. I mean, I've dealt with rumors. I mean, I think we've all dealt with rumors, okay? And rumors are simply just that, rumors. I mean, a rumor can hurt a person if people believe that rumor, okay? And think it to be true, okay? Yes, it can, okay? But, I mean, I just stop, okay, and try not to, okay, get bothered with rumors. So what do you do, Pastor Beal?
You know, there's been a lot of rumors that I've had to deal with, too. One time somebody accused me of kissing a member of my parish, and the way I dealt with that is I got up on stage and met it head on. I told everybody the accusation, and I said it was patently false, and then we filed the lawsuit. So that's how I dealt with my rumor, but there are other ways to deal with rumors as well. You could turn the other cheek. You could pray. You could do a blog talk radio show where you discuss with people who like you, things like that. And, Ken, I know you've dealt with a lot of rumors in your time. I don't know how you put up with that.
Well, you know, it's just it's the way it goes sometimes, you know. I mean, being on Block Talk Radio, it does cause a lot of people to talk about you. I don't know why, okay, it just has, okay.
What are some of the rumors that you've had to deal with?
Oh, heck, I don't know. There's too many to mention, really. I mean, I really don't know. Oh, we got a caller here. Let's take 909. Let's see who we have. 909, you're on here.
Hey, what's up, Kenny? You know who this is?
No, who is it?
No.
See, look at the record. Let's go.
Are you ready for it? Give it tomorrow.
I'm going to stay home. Yeah, all my family, they're all in other places.
Okay, so you got anything going on? You're going to put on a spread or not?
Nah, I'm going to be by myself, you know. Maybe call a hyena, you know. Maybe give her some of my giblets, you know.
Giblets? What are giblets?
You know, you know what I'm saying, you know.
I really don't, Beanie Loco. I apologize. You're going to give her your leftover Thanksgiving food? That's good.
Yeah, host. I'm going to give her my chorizo.
Oh, chorizo? Isn't that a Mexican dish that is a little bit spicy, like sausage, and a little dry?
Well, yeah, you could say it's like sausage. I don't know if it's dried, you know, because, you know, once she puts it, you know, in the mouth, it's going to be wet.
He's talking about penis, Ken. Godly show. He's talking about penis. What do we say? No penis talk on the show. We're not going to be discussing penises.
I'm talking about chorizo. I'm not talking about my penis.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man, I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry, Beanie.
If I was talking about my penis, I would have said, I would have gave her the Juan Casas, the John Holmes. You know, they call me Juan Casas.
Well, Beanie, I'm glad that you're going to be having a really good Thanksgiving by yourself and with your woman. I hope all goes well and that your turkey is out fresh and cooked and happy and you don't have a stomach bug like I do.
Hey, it's I heard Tony had a show yesterday. I missed it.
Yeah, he did. But he rage quit and somebody talked about his mother.
Oh, really, man. What's this guy, man? His mom's been gone for how many years? Like 2-3 years now?
Couple years.
I know that he loved her and stuff, man, but sometimes words are just words, man. What are you going to do about it, you know? You don't have the person in front of you so you could kick them in the face, you know? So it's like, come on, Tony, grow up.
Amen. Oh, Beanie, I'm very happy you called in. Pastor Ken, do we have any more callers?
No, not this particular time. We do not.
We do not. Well, let's have Leroy talk about things.
Leroy's being awful quiet. What's up, back to Leroy?
Leroy! Yeah, man. Look, what the hell was that noise, man? It sounded like somebody's house was getting hit with the hail shit, man.
Leroy. What's up, Leroy?
Look, who's this, man? Who's this?
This is Beanie Loco, man.
Beanie Loco, man. Look here, man. If you are the real Beanie Loco, and you and I know each other outside of here, if you're the real Beanie Loco, and you are the man, you are the shit, and I love you, man.
Thank you, Pastor Leroy. I love you too, man. You know, no homo, you know? I love you too, man.
No, I ain't in a homo shit, man. I never, ever, ever.
No, I'm saying that I love you, man, but no homo, you know? Kind of like the way that Lil Wayne used to say.
Yeah, Lil Wayne, yeah. Yeah, okay, that's cool. Look, man, let me tell you this. You are the man if you are truly the man.
That was...
Anyway, I'm getting a message here on my phone here, man. Hold on a second. What is this? Who? Fuck is this, man?
Language.
All right, okay. Pastor Veal.
Yeah.
I mean, what's up with you, man? What's up with you tonight?
Well, I'm not feeling too well, Pastor Leroy, if truth be told.
Well, I'm concerned about you, man. That's why I'm asking. You and I have done many shows together. And tonight you seem like in a, I don't know, like some kind of weird state, man. Like maybe you got some brain damage or whatever you want to call it going on up there, man. I'm just saying.
Well,
I hope not.
Well, to be brutally honest, my rear end has become a slip and slide. It hurts to sit down. I ate some old sushi, so I've become like the Mount Fuji volcano of brown stinky. It's not going too well. You know what I'm saying? Has that ever happened to you?
You're making me sick.
I ate some oysters one time, okay, and they didn't agree with me. Yeah, I was at the toilet for quite a bit.
Oh,
yeah, I understand that. That's terrible.
Did Tony F. help you out?
Well, he, as best as he could, you know, he realized it was the oysters. I got food poisoning, and it wasn't good. It wasn't a very good night that night.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
Hey, Kenny. So that those oysters have pearls? Wink, wink?
No pearls.
Okay.
I went to a Mexican seafood restaurant, and they had oysters on the half shell, and so
you got sick there?
Huh?
And you got sick there?
Yeah, I got sick. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't really trust Mexican seafood places, always, because the cooks, you know, they come from the border, you know, and sometimes when they're cooking and stuff, they're picking their butt home, so, you know, you might have got some type of fecal matter, you know?
Oh! Never know.
You know, I don't trust the stuff. You know, even like the tacos they have out here on the little trucks and stuff, like setting up little tables outside and all. I don't even trust them, man, because I know their culo stinks, you know?
Well, you know, I've eaten in many a taco food truck here and there, okay? And I've got to say, I've always had good luck with them. I've never had a problem with a taco food truck, okay? The food's always been good, easy, and so, I mean...
Yeah, I wouldn't trust the food truck,
I will stop at an Asian taco food truck to get something to eat.
I wouldn't trust a taco food truck. So, you know what they do? You know what they do when the cops order tacos? They have a special badge, Holmes. Yeah, a special badge for the cops. And one time the taco truck, they mixed up the batch with something else, and they forgot which one it was, man. So a bunch of the homies got sick, and next time they went, man, they beat up the guy, man. They beat him up.
Look here, man. Can I speak? Can anybody out there hear me, man? This is Leroy Jackson.
Senor. I
reside in the Bronx, man. Can you hear me? Can anybody hear me, man?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yo escucho. Yo escucho Lee, Rolando, Jackson, from the Bronx.
Yeah, okay, look here, man. I just got one question, and I'm going to shut up, man. My question is, and I'm going to be straight up blunt with you, man. Look, I'm from Manhattan. I was born in Harlem, in the Bronx, man, and that's where I live now. But let me say this. What the fuck is a taco, man?
You don't know what a taco is, Holmes?
Taco! Never heard of that, man?
My brother's here, man. My brother's here. My younger brother, his name is Leonard Jackson. He's from Harlem, man. And let me say this. He's here, and he's shaking his head. He's like, what's going on here, man? What am I doing on here, man? Look, my brother Ted, man. No shit, man. Brother's asking me, what am I doing here on Thanksgiving Eve? But let me tell you something, man. I love all you guys, and I'm going to sit on the side. I don't even remember what the hell I was going to say.
Lee Rolando Jackson from the Bronx.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm from the Bronx, man. The Bronx.
Okay.
Yeah. Pastor Ken, you got any other callers?
No, I've got all the callers, but they haven't pressed the one key as of yet. I got 211-1s and area code.
Oh, Ken, this is Pastor Beal. Discord moderator Eric is watching our chat, so we really need to watch our language today because I don't want to get banned off Discord.
He can't do anything to you.
It's Discord moderator Eric. I don't want to do anything wrong on this show. Do you know who Discord moderator Eric is?
Yeah, I know who he is. He's a Discord moderator. He's on Discord.
He said he's moderating this chat room. He said, I am moderating this chat room, Eric. So he's moderating
it. Well, he has nothing to do with Block Talk Radio, so he can moderate only once.
Ah, jeez. Let's take some more callers. Ken, can we hang up on the callers in the background? Or is that you making pizza in the microwave or something?
I ain't making anything in the microwave. I'm not in the kitchen.
Is B Loco still on?
I'm here, Holmes.
Ken, we should probably hang up on callers so we can minimize background noise or put them on mute and maybe bring them on later.
I'm inside my car. I'm almost quiet.
Oh. Well,
I don't know what that was. Maybe it was some wind noise going on in the background.
Hey, Lord, what's that, Holmes? Is that a ghost? El cuckoo?
point. Well, anyway, since we got no more callers, and we got 210. We got 210. Let me bring them on. 210, you're on the air.
That is Grover Washington.
What's up, Grover?
I'm doing okay. I just heard a guy having unfortunate diarrhea in the background.
Yeah, that was me, unfortunately, Grover. I apologize profusely. That was unprofessional. Like I said, my rear has become a slip and slide, and I'm sorry I had to bring that onto the show.
Hey, Holmes, you pulled the freaking Tony Gaga.
What?
He pulled a freaking Tony Gaga. Remember when Tony Gaga took a shit on live on the air?
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember that.
Ooh, this is such a godly show.
Hey, is that Tony Farrar? Hello, Tony.
Okay, I gotta do some music here. All right. Okay.
Ken, we're talking with Grover.
Yeah.
Well, you got a problem with black people calling in while you're trying to immediately get off the line.
No.
Oh, what's wrong? Your boyfriend coming in gonna put you in the crate?
No. No. I was just going
to
say,
he wasn't going to be on
here, but evidently he decided to say hi.
Yeah, you're a liar then. Or he's a liar.
I was going by what he said. He said he wasn't going to come on.
Well, he's a lying dumbass then.
Oh.
Ken, I heard a rumor, and since the show topic tonight is supposed to be rumors instead of whatever comes out of people, I heard a rumor that you get put in a crate with a helmet by Tony F. Is that true?
No, it's not true.
I've seen pictures.
Never happened and never will.
What's he yelling about?
Well, Grover,
I hear him. What's that noise?
That might be Victor.
So what's this about rumors? Is that the topic?
Yeah, that is the topic of tonight, Grover.
Well, I know, Ken, you faced a lot of rumors. One of the rumors is that you provide charity blowjobs for the homeless down at the Haven for Hope.
Yeah, which is not true, Grover, and you know it.
How did a rumor like that get started?
You.
What? I don't reckon I started that rumor.
Yeah, you did.
I also heard a rumor that you got contacted by Dr. Ray, what's his name, about how you stole his prayer.
I didn't steal anything. Okay.
Well, then why did you change it?
Because I decided to. Okay.
Contacted by the lawyer.
I guess there are many other pastors that use that prayer. Okay. So let me take another caller. 111, you're on here.
Are you traveling down this long, dusty road, not knowing which way to go, which way is up? Are you lacking purpose in your life?
That had nothing to do with Ray Purchase. That's me. Okay? That's all me. That had nothing to do with
I know that
Ray
I'm
Purchase.
A sinner, and I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it.
I changed some of Ray Pritchard's prayer. And it wasn't word for word. Okay? So I used part of
the change a couple of words.
Yeah. Okay, change a couple words, put other words in. Okay.
Can I tell you about another rumor? Can I tell you about another rumor? All right, I'm hearing a rumor that Tony. Hello.
You're on. You're still there.
Okay. Well, I heard some idiot in the background talking. It was probably Tony Farrar. But I heard that Tony Farrar gave the HIV to Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, is that true?
No.
I also heard
wild.
That Kenny doesn't know the Ten Commandments unless he Googles it.
Well, we could disprove that one right now. Ken, can you say the Ten Commandments?
Listen, he's
such
gonna start typing.
Such a godly program this is.
Yep, he's covering for him now. That's Farrar covering for Ken who doesn't know the Ten Commandments.
Ken,
God,
I know you
Ministries.
Know.
Point two, isn't this a lovely way to spend an evening?
Don't you dare talk about God getting it butt stuff. Don't bring that up again.
Ken,
Ken, have you Googled it yet? Google it yet?
Ken, I know that you know the Ten Commandments. I know it, and I want you to prove this guy wrong right now on air. What are the Ten Commandments, Ken?
I'm not going to recite the Ten Commandments for anybody, okay?
I knew it.
Okay,
I know
the Ten Commandments, and that's it. Goodbye, brother. Okay. All right.
Ken, why wouldn't you recite the Ten Commandments?
Because it's not needed, okay? It's not needed.
Well, we could have proved him wrong right then and there, and he would have had to shut his trap on it.
Well, yeah, that's okay.
Oh, jeez. That's very upsetting. I wish we could have proved him wrong, Ken. You do know the Ten Commandments, though, right, Ken?
Yes, I know the Ten Commandments.
Can you list them for me?
There's Ten Commandments.
Yeah, like, what are they? I just want to make sure that you know. I'm sorry if I'm feeling skeptical. I just need to hear them. I don't know.
Why do you need to hear the Ten Commandments from me? Do you know them?
I do.
Okay. Then that's all you need to know. If you know the Ten Commandments, then that's all that matters.
Amen. Jeez.
Look here, man. I don't know where this is going. This is Leroy Jackson from the Bronx, man. I don't know where this is going tonight. It's not going in a good direction. Pastor Ken is my friend, man. Okay, I don't know where this is going. Now, you want to know the Ten Commandments? I'll tell you the Ten Commandments, man. I ain't got no problem with that. Thou shalt not kill. You shall have no other gods before me. Hallelujah. Thou
shalt not
make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And damn, have I done that way too many times, man. I'm sure all of us have, and we shouldn't do it. But if you do it, and you say to the Lord, I'm sorry I did it, He'll forgive you. Because you know what? We all make mistakes, man. We all say shit we don't mean to say. We all want to go to heaven when we die, right? All of us do. I do.
Amen.
You do. If there is a heaven, I hope. Look, man, I don't know if there's a heaven. There may not be a heaven. I've been around here for 60 years, man. Do I believe in heaven? I hope there is a heaven. I hope there is a God. But you know what? If there's a God, then there's got to be a devil. Everything you do while you're here
I'm going to say this to the young, the old, and the very young, the children that are shooting up our schools here in the United States of America, man. How? First off, I want to know how you get a hold of some AR rifles, man. That's what I want to know. I'm going way off topic here. Topic was the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. Shut up, man. I know it went off topic. My sister's here for Thanksgiving, man. She's busting my balls, too. My whole freaking family's busting my balls tonight. All right, here we go. Here we go. Honor your father and your mother. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. I think that's it, man.
Ken, I'm obliged to tell you right now in Discord chat, there is a riot going on over Tony F deciding to pop in on Grover's call. I think we need to do two things. I think we need to take back Grover on the air, and we need to clear the air there. And B, like, we need to consult with these people on the fact that Tony F called in. DC2 is really upset. He's saying Ken did it again. Ken commits adultery every day, also stealing sermons. And people are saying that I lied about Farrar and they called me the F word. And people are saying that you don't know the Ten Commandments. And I'm getting really, really nervous about that, Ken. We need to hit that head on.
Well, I don't think we do. I just think we need to let it go. I mean, because Tony only came on and said a couple words and he left. So, I mean, it's not like I can't help it. He decided to come on. He said he wasn't going to come on and he came on anyway. Okay? I mean, he's welcome to come on wherever he wants to.
Oh, jeez. Oh, man. This has just been a crazy night, Ken. Ken, do you know any Bible verses that can help me be calm?
No, I can't say Bible verses will help you make you be calm, okay? But
well, do you know any about tranquility? Do you know any about tranquility that you can tell me just real quick?
No, I don't know. I can't say I do know any verse about tranquility. I mean, there's quite a bit of them out there, but I don't remember them. Okay, by heart.
Well, do you know any Bible verses that you think give me solace right now? Like, you know, just comfort. I need comfort, Ken. I'm not feeling well. I need comfort.
Why do you need...
I'm really nervous. Ken, please.
Yeah, okay. Let's see. Let's think. Let me think here. Okay. Let's see.
I need tranquility.
How about 1 Galatians chapter 5? Verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that makes me feel a little bit better. Do you have any others?
How about Matthew chapter 5, verse 9? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Those don't really talk about tranquility, but they make me feel better that you opened your Bible to find those, right?
Yeah. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you.
Ken, I have a question. I'm starting to cry. I'm sorry. Ken, how are you able to pull those Bible verses out of your Bible so fast? Do you have them, like, earmarked, or How do you have them laid out in your Bible?
I just have a list of certain things to deal with, certain things like sometimes I need comfort myself, so I will look up verses and then I will mark them. Okay, it's like.
Where do you keep your Bible verses at? The ones that you pulled out? Because you told me you didn't know any, and then you suddenly pulled them out. And so, like, I didn't know you had a verse of a box of Bible verses.
I don't have a box of Bible verses. I just have certain scriptures marked in my Bible. Okay, I didn't know in my heart. I had to go back to them. Okay, and so I could be able to recite them for you. Okay, I just had to go look them up.
You looked them up in the Bible, though, right?
Yeah.
You didn't Google?
No, I didn't Google.
I'd feel really upset if you Googled.
No, I didn't
Google. I keep a Bible open when I talk to you on the phone. Do you keep a Bible open?
Yeah, I got one open right now.
Can you tap it
on the
microphone? Oh, jeez. Tap it into the microphone just so we can hear that you got your Bible. So I got mine right here. I don't know. I don't know if you can hear my Bible. I'm thumping it right now. I'm tapping it. Do you hear my Bible?
Yeah, I can hear it.
Where's your Bible? Tap your Bible for me.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Flip through the pages for me. I just want to hear it. Ken,
okay.
Where'd you go?
I'm right here.
Ken, I wanted to hear the pages. I didn't hear any pages earlier, which makes me nervous that you don't actually have the Bible open.
That's funny, dude. That's funny. All right.
Is that a cat? See, like,
huh?
I got my Bible open. Where's yours?
I just put my Bible up. Okay. So anyway. I'm going to say goodnight, everybody. God bless you.
Ken.
Okay?
Ken, we're
and, get ready for
leave.
Thanksgiving tomorrow, everybody.
Ken.
Have a blessed.
Ken, Donnie's in the queue. Ken, we need to take Donnie before we end the show.
He's in the queue?
Yeah, I promise there are callers on 111.
Okay.
There are callers.
Okay,
we're not going to end the show right now.
Okay. There we go. 111.
Hello. Kenny. I'm here to defend you, my son. You see, everyone needs to take it easy on my brother Kenny because he is getting a bad rap. Because Tony F. is taking over the show. But what people don't understand and people don't realize is that Tony is Kenny's other half and he has to abide and please his other half. Isn't that right, Kenny?
Well, we please each other. Okay, so, I mean, that's the way it goes.
Yes, it is mutual, but sometimes it is more mutual the other way. So please, my son, my audience, do not judge Kenny. A lot of people might say, why is Kenny such a bitch and giving in to Tony F? But that's the way marriage works sometimes. sometimes there has to be a bitch in the relationship. And in this instance, it's Kenny. So, Kenny, no. I applaud you for being a bitch. And did you hang up on me? You have to. Otherwise, he will beat you and throw eggs at you and make you wear a helmet and lock you up in a cage and not let you fuck little 16-year-old Victor.
Okay, goodbye, Pat. One, you're on.
And you
here.
Don't actually... Kenneth!
Yeah!
My God. Kenneth, listen, brother, to buy another lie detector, your bullshit blew it up again, Kenneth. Kenny, you know you Googled, Kenny. I heard you Googling when he asked for that prayer, Kenny. Don't lie to the people, Kenny. Be honest with the people. Say that you Googled it. We all heard the typing. Kenny, it's circle of trust, brother. You can't go back on the circle of trust, Kenny.
You're right.
Did you Google, Kenny? Admit it.
No, I didn't Google. I had the Bible.
Kenny.
Okay. God bless you, DC, too.
No, Kenny. Ken, why are you hanging up on him? He's a ghostly caller.
Yep, have a great night, everybody. God
Kenny,
bless
what
you.
He's a great caller. Kenny, why are you hanging
this
up?
This is an abomination, Kenny. This is outrage,
Kenny.
Kenny,
there are callers in queue. Ken, there are callers in queue. As your executive producer, I'm asking you to stay. There's no reason to get upset at the show. I'm sick today of calling in. And you want to have the show right now because people are asking you questions and they make you feel uncomfortable. Well, I'm sorry about that. But, Ken, we got to press on. We got to finish up the show. There are callers in queue who want to call in. Please.
There's only one more caller. He just put the hand up. So I will bring them up. 1-1-1.
Hey, Pastor Ken, I got disconnected. What happened?
I have no earthly
idea. Oh.
Hey, I want you to know I'm a supporter of you, but I heard you Googling. I heard you typing.
He Googled. He Googled.
Just be honest.
You actually Google. Pastor Google.
Yeah.
Can you Google?
All right. God bless y'all. No,
1-1-1. Can
you
Google? This is Pastor Ken. Okay. Goodbye.
Okay.
Ken, did you Google?
Hello?
Bitch Kenny.
Oh.
Stop hanging up on callers, bitch Kenny. Stop being such a bitch, bitch Kenny. Why are you such a bitch?
Bye. 1-1.
Hello. This is an anonymous caller. I have a comment to make. It's about pastors who lie. I don't think that's very godly. Amen.
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 I don't think
Amen.
It's godly
either.
Have
a good one. Bye-bye. Okay, see you all later. Bye-bye.
Kenny, no, Kenny. Kenny,